Live and local present the On Air Chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Zeller and Aaron Harter.
Good Wednesday morning. Ron Thomas and Aaron Harter in studio. We are the On Air Chat, and we're brought to you by the Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction 342-5001. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. We're going to continue our spotlight on Emporia State University philanthropy. And today, Ron, we have the oldest continuously running summer theater on the Great Plains as our focus.
On the planet, probably. ESU Theater. Great topic. Rich history.
Rich history.
And they've got some good things coming up.
They do have some good things coming up. Well, let's start with our guests. First, we have Lainey Smith. She's a theater student, senior, going to be a senior this fall at Emporia State University. Good morning, Lainey.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Just fine. We have Pete Rydberg. Did I say that correctly?
You said that correctly.
Perfect. ESU Director of Theater, a new Director of Theater. I guess everybody's new if you were hired during COVID. No one's really met you. Good morning, Pete.
Yep, absolutely.
How are you?
Doing great. It's great to be here.
I've had the good fortune of talking to Pete on a number of occasions, but I've never really seen him before,
right?
So this is kind of neat.
This is great. We had our first face-to-face production meeting for No Way to Treat a Lady. Everything has been Zoom. We've been working on the project since April, and for the first time today, all of the brains were in a single room. It was really enjoyable.
We're discovering new things, Aaron.
We are. Face-to-face contact again. And Angela Fullen, ESU Foundation Development Officer. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, Aaron.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for inviting us in.
Hey, not a problem at all. I think this is show number 6. I think we had 5 and then a 1 week break, and this is number 6.
I believe you're right.
So we have 4 more after that, and then I think Shane and Steve have some talks for some future shows as well. These shows have been really good. We've had obviously good guests from the foundation and from the university professorship side. But the students have hit it out of the ballpark so far, and I think that's really good to showcase the students that are going to Emporia State. So let's start with Lainey. Lainey, give us a little bit of bio. How did you get to Emporia State, and when do you graduate? What's your major, etc.?
Well, I went to Emporia State, not because my sister went there, but she was a large factor. And she's only 2 years older than me, and we're really close. And she went to Emporia, so I kind of put Emporia on my radar. And I liked our theater department and our art department and just the size of Emporia and everything. And I might graduate in the next spring, and I might not. It kind of depends. I'm kind of just taking all the classes I want to, and if it works out, it works out. But
where did you go to high school?
I went to high school in Belle Plaine, Kansas.
Okay. And is your sister in the theater department as well? Or was she in the theater department?
No,
as well?
She was a business marketing major. But, she's an artistic person, but, just business.
What is your major?
I'm a BA of theater with a secondary interest in art and scenic artistry.
So after a theater degree here, what do you hope that will lead you to?
Well, that's all kind of depending on what my senior year looks like. Might go to a theater and start working immediately, or I might go to grad school, kind of just depends on how I feel in the next year or so.
Okay. But theater is something you want to stay involved with then, I assume.
Yes, absolutely. I plan in the future to become a scenic painter, scenic designer, and maybe do props along the way. And then eventually I want to get my master's and teach scenic artistry at a collegiate level.
And are you involved in the summer theater production coming up, No Way to Treat a Lady?
I sure am.
And what is your involvement?
I'm the assistant scenic designer and props master for the show.
So how's it been so far?
It's been a lot of fun, learning a lot of new things, It's a lot different than anything I've ever done before.
So how is the excitement level? Is it high? I mean, finally people are getting together, going to be able to actually mingle face-to-face and do things. Do you see a positive vibe there?
Absolutely. Everyone is super excited to just be working in the shops together again and, like, excited to have a show that's in person. Our actors aren't going to be wearing masks. And so it's just, you know, everything is back to the way it kind of was before. Not entirely, but more so, you know?
So is this your first venture into summer theater then?
Yes, this is my first summer theater.
It'll be a good experience.
When did you get into the theater program? Was it last fall? Was it post summer of 2020? How long have you been in the theater department?
Here at ESU, I've been in the theater department ever since freshman year, first semester. So,
is that typical for people to be involved in the summer theater program, or be involved in the theater department but not involved in the summer theater program until later on in their?
It just kind of depends on the person and what your summers look like and all those other kinds of things. It just really depends on who you are and what you want to do and if any of the shows interest you or, you know, what your summer looks like, really.
I'm talking with Lainey Smith, a theater student at Emporia State. So have you been involved in a number of productions since you were a freshman?
Yeah, I've been involved in at least one production since every semester since freshman year.
Okay.
How big of a time constraint is it? Obviously, you guys aren't Broadway paid actors, so it takes up some time, and you probably have a job while you're going to school as well. How big of a time constraint is it for you?
It depends on what assignment and like role you get for that show. So like if you're an actor, it's going to be a lot more of a time commitment compared to like set construction, and you know, props masters have different times and all that other kind of stuff. It's kind of a big time commitment, but I mean, I've had anywhere from 2 to 3 jobs my entire college career, so I mean, I make time for it. Theater's a priority, and so is working, but you know, I'm here to learn theater, and that's why I'm here. So, you know, time commitments and just time management is important. So,
well, I would assume that, you know, if you're a theater student, getting involved in the productions, that's the big thing. That's what you want to do, right?
Absolutely.
Get involved with the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
for a performance like No Way to Treat a Lady, which is coming up June 25th through June 27th, how soon do you guys on the prop side and the scene side, how soon do you guys start designing, planning, etc.?
Well, Josh Christofferson is our scenic designer, and he's been working on this since like early April.
He started, yeah, right yeah. Top week of April. Sure.
Yeah, early April is when we started doing scenic stuff, and I've sort of been helping with the research and everything for that, and we just put together like a ground plan. And on the prop side, it's not as... we don't have to start that early. I started gathering like lists and like reading the play and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I like put the list together for props in April, started doing research in May. And then I believe we're going to start pulling stuff this week for the actual production.
In person?
Yes.
And that's really all of your planning and all of Josh's planning has been digitally?
So he has been located...
University of Wisconsin Parkside.
Yeah, so most of our communication has been through, like, emails and Zooms and that kind of stuff. But, you know, he's really helped me with, like, the whole process. You know, he's done the drafting for the ground plans and stuff on, like, Vectorworks, so I can see them digitally. And so, yeah, he just got... to Emporia on Sunday. So
and he is also an ESU alum. I'm not sure which year, but yeah, he has come home to roost for a tradition he knows incredibly well.
Yeah.
So how many people are on the you know, design and prop team?
Well, I'm the only props master. I mean, people, you know, help me pull things and, you know, will help me create things, but scenic-wise, we have the scenic designer, which is Josh, assistant scenic designer, which is me, and then we have the lighting designer, which is Mason Nix. And then we have the sound designer, which is Damian Page. And then costume designer is Emily Rayson.
And those are all students who are using the summer performance to really highlight and showcase their work and what they've developed as their skill set over their time at ESU.
Yeah, we're having all student designers except for the scenic designer, but that's mainly because this is kind of a big moving show and musical, and honestly, I wouldn't want my first big lead scenic design to be a musical. That's a bit intimidating.
but a pretty normal thing to bring someone in that has experience on a show of this magnitude.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Because what I've been able to witness with Lainey and Josh working side by side is Lainey is learning all of the tricks of the trade from someone who's been in it now for a couple of decades. And all of this is a very strategic step because one of the great things about ESU and how we're able to work with our theater students is we get to know all of them and what their goals and aspirations are on a very individual level. And from day one, my conversations with Lainey, she's always expressed she's wanted to work on scenic design, on properties. And by the way, scenic design, you can oftentimes learn. There are measurements, there are concepts. Props, you almost have to be born to be a props person because it's all about creative problem solving. And Lainey really works well in both of those veins. But the idea of putting a student alongside an industry professional is because now when we hit our Comedy of Manners that closes out our next academic year, the lead scenic designer will be Lainey. And Lainey will be able to go out into the world pointing at this height. Like, you can't get much higher than that at the undergraduate level, but it positions her to just knock down doors, whether she wants to go into grad school, she'll be able to talk about these experiences, or she'll have the industry experience to really start just throwing her hat in the ring for projects.
And teach the next one.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So with the musical coming up, a lot of set changes, variations during the show?
Oh, yes. Lots. We have at least, what, like 7 or 9?
It is a flurry. It is a flurry. There are wagons coming on. There are wagons going off. There are things flying in, flying out. We've got a giant rotating unit. Like, mm-hmm. This is a non-stop flowing show. We literally spent just 2 hours of a rehearsal the other day just running the transitions because there are that many transitions. And the goal is to really bring some fun theatrical magic, mm-hmm. right? The hope is for the audience to be left with a wondering, how did they do that? How did that moment happen on stage? And we're really excited about bringing some of those surprises to the audience. Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it.
Really looking forward to it. And the voice that you hear is Pete Rydberg. He's the new ESU Director of Theater. Pete, how'd you get to Emporia State? And what's your theater background?
Via pandemic, I got to Emporia State. Zoom brought me here. what I was incredibly excited about was what you said at the very first. This is a legacy program, right? This is a program where directors of theater arrive, they invest their heart and soul, and they are long-term contributors, and they take the program to whatever the next level is. And I'm really honored and proud to be part of that lineage of directors of theater here, particularly at a time where there is so much transition and so much change happening. But beyond just the opportunity to kind of work to lead the vision of an incredibly established program, our teaching faculty, theater is all about your collaborators. Theater is all about being in that room and bouncing ideas off of one another. And we have such an incredible faculty of educator artists. And whether they're in the classroom or in production meetings, the ability to create, you know, visions together. It's just wonderful. So that drew me here. And honestly, I'm a born and bred Midwest boy. It's great to be back in Central Standard Time. So I was very much looking forward to the move to Emporia. And I'm really excited now that restrictions have kind of raised. And I feel like, you know, it's I can finally explore the town I've found myself in, right? I'm excited about getting in all of the businesses on Main Street and beginning to meet the local business owners and get involved in the community in a much more direct way rather than just kind of knowing it exists. I'm really excited to see things returning to normal.
Well, if we could, let's learn a little bit more about Pete Rydberg. You mentioned a Midwesterner. Where did you grow up? And now let's talk about your educational theatrical background.
I am a Minnesotan through and through. That's something that Minnesotans never really quite shake off. I do still go back to visit Grandma Shirley and the folks up in Minnesota. They're actually right on 35, just 7 hours due north. I did my undergraduate at St. Olaf College in Northfield and then attended the National Theater Institute, where I had already had an incredible passion for theater and for performance, and the National Theater Institute was very much like boot camp, where if you survive it, you are honed and you are ready to go. And I took that experience back to my undergraduate, where I formed my very first production company. And so my senior year of undergrad, I actually did a fully produced production off of campus of Into the Woods, a giant spectacular production. And that kind of positioned me. I moved to Minneapolis. I had a couple of companies up there. We performed absurdist theater in bowling alleys. We performed in small black box spaces, kind of just, you know, catch as catch can theater. But it was a great proving ground. And then I very much accidentally fell into academia. I am from a long line of pastors and teachers, and I was committed to being neither. but in the course of my theatrical engagement, I had knocking around in my brain that when one goes to grad school is really, they just send you all around the world on these fancy conferences. That's how I thought grad school was. I did not understand it for the intense experience of work and development that it is. So I kind of threw my hat into the ring for a grad school program, literally walked in off the street. I said, you know, I happen to be an artistic director here. I'm terribly talented. I think you should give me a full ride to your program. And it worked. So having kind of just jumped in, I didn't even really know what my journey would be. And then I got in the classroom. And while I was still directing, I recognized that one of the things that just filled me with joy was connecting with students and helping them understand why I have this incredible passion for theater, both from a theoretical standpoint, from its role in our history as cultural beings, and just as an activity to bring a community together in a celebration. I just love it. And I like teaching that.
Well, you're lacking some passion, I think. Quite honestly, I'm fired up now.
Yeah, bring it a little bit more. When we come back from break here, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We're on the spotlight of philanthropy in Emporia State University Theater Department. This is the On-Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We're live and local.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis Construction will give you quality work. Bruce Davis Construction's proud to be involved in recent jobs, including the addition of Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Bruce Davis Construction, call 342-5001. Bruce Davis Construction.
It's grown live and local. Don't miss the Emporia Farmers Market, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. KVOE, 1400 a.m. and 96.9 FM.
Keeping you in touch, KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. It is time to check local headlines being brought to you by Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, featuring daily lunch specials, a menu full of fresh food, and your favorite beverages as well. Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18th. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, here is Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning, everybody. At least one apartment is a complete loss, several others damaged when fire broke out in an apartment house near downtown Emporia early this morning. Emporia Fire Battalion Chief Tony Fuller says the apartment in the attic's southeast corner was destroyed after fire was reported at 816 Congress around 5:30 this morning. Everybody inside the three-story apartment house made it out safely, according to Emporia Fire, but a dog died in that incident. We'll keep you updated here today on KVUE, KVUE.com, and KVUE social media. Emporia City Commissioners looking at property, capital improvement, and budgetary matters with their City Commission study session taking place here this morning. Lyon County Commissioners have an action session with budget requests coming up to lead that particular agenda tomorrow morning. And if you're looking to purchase a new air conditioning unit, you should be aware that outdoor temperatures aren't the only things on the rise here this week. AC unit prices have risen anywhere from 3% to 12% over the past 6 months. KVUE forecast from the TV 13 weather team calling for sunshine today with a high of 90, sunny tomorrow and 92, heat index readings right around 100, and a high of 93 degrees on Friday, slight chance of thunderstorms and heat index readings at or above 100. From the 24-hour KVUE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. We're seeing a light and variable wind, a mostly sunny sky, and 84 degrees. Headlines: a service of Bruff Sports Bar and Grill. Bruff's features daily lunch specials, a menu full of fresh food, and your favorite beverages as well. Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18th. And don't forget their new Sunday hours, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. KBOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
Welcome back to the on-air chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting the ESU Theater Department in the KVOE studios. We kind of learned before the break what got Laney into theater, and we were talking off air what got Pete Rydberg, the new ESU director of theater, into theater itself, and it was a great story. Why don't you tell it again real quick, Pete?
Absolutely. I've lived in a lot of small towns, and in small towns everyone knows everyone. And so I was in seventh grade, and my sister was in eighth grade, sitting in English class. The English teacher was the drama director, and they were getting ready for their competition play for the fall. And she said, in the course of English class, "We need someone who fits the kangaroo outfit. Who is that loud-mouthed fat kid in the hallway?" And my sister raised her hand and said, "I think you mean my brother." And the English teacher said, "Bring him to the theater at 7 o'clock. And literally, my mom brought me over. They stuffed me in a kangaroo suit. I got looked up and down. And they said, "Good enough. You're good to go." And then that competition play, we took it to state. And so I'm a seventh grader, kind of in my first experience working alongside seniors who, of course, were gods in our small school. And we were taking this little rinketing school, was competing against all of the big schools from these large cities, and we just took it. It was great. It was a good time. And so that really kind of cemented my passion for the stage.
That's a great story. Well, let's get to Angela. Angela, this isn't your first bio on the on-air chat, but why don't you give us a quick bio?
Okay, Aaron, thank you. So I'm from Emporia and born and raised here, and I have attended many plays at Emporia State growing up. As a child, my parents would take me, and as an adult, I like to take my own children to the plays. So I'm happy to be here with Laney and Pete. I'm working at the foundation, and I just celebrated 20 years working for ESU.
Time flies, doesn't it, girl?
Whoa,
it does.
20
I can't
years.
Believe it.
So how many positions have you held then?
So I think I think this is probably my fifth position.
Okay, and you are what, a foundation development officer? That is your title now?
Yeah, so I'm an associate director of development, and I'm actually the liaison for the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. So I love to raise money for the theater department.
You mentioned raising money. Obviously, that's top of what we have to get done here, right?
Exactly. And I hope all of your listeners are aware that we are currently in a Together Forward campaign. President Garrett officially launched that on Founders Day in February this year with a goal to raise $50 million by homecoming. So that's, you know, that's a big lofty goal, $50 million. That's transformational for Emporia State University. Currently, we're already over $47 million. So I know I'm extremely confident that we will reach our goal by October, and who knows where we'll go from there. One of the great things about this campaign, one of the top three priorities are talent awards. Talent awards are exactly what we're talking about today. Talent can start when a student is in middle school or high school, and they start working on their skills to become an actor or to become a scene designer. You know, they're working on those skills, so by the time they're graduating in high school and thinking about which college to attend, we want to have scholarships available to award them, to recruit them, to retain them here at Emporia State University. So that is a great need of ours, and we want anyone who is inspired to make an impact at with ESU Theater to reach out to us at the foundation when you have time, and let's have a conversation about how to make an impact, how to help Pete grow the program here at ESU.
Well, the theater department we mentioned has such a rich history, and just since I've been here, and I've been in the area for over 30 years, but, you know, getting to talk with people like Ron Fredrickson, Jim Ryan, Harry Parker, mm-hmm. who I believe is at TCU, at least he was last check that
yep.
that I had. He left here to go to TCU, and then Jim Bartriff, who just left, all very talented and passionate individuals, just like Pete is. And
not to mention Carl Bruder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so it's been impressive. I mean, all the performances that we are fortunate enough to be able to witness and enjoy are right here at our doorstep. So we certainly encourage people to enjoy all the offerings of ESU Theater, not only during the summer, but during the year. So.
Well, and we talked about it being the oldest continuously running summer theater on the Great Plains, which would include Minnesota.
That is true. I understand that I am bragging about Kansas in full view of my forebears up north.
Well, let's get into the details of the summer theater. Obviously, COVID put a little something into last year's performances. Weren't able to have them in person with a full audience, but a little change up this year. Talk about the details around this year's Summer to Theater program.
Absolutely. So we are thrilled. We are so excited about this summer. We cannot think of a better offering to welcome people out of their homes back out into the sunshine of public life. So we're doing one show, one big musical that honestly, I'd call it a PG-14, right? I think that, be younger than that, it might go a little fast for them. There is some violence, but it's really comic violence, which I know doesn't necessarily make violence good, but, you know, there's no profanity. It's a great 1970s murder mystery romance, right? We're doing one show because obviously theater, we always have to plan out, and COVID has been such a moving sort of target over the course of this year. What we decided on is we knew that if we invested our time and our energy in creating one showcase, showstopper to bring everyone on out, we knew that not only could we do it justice, presuming the pandemic situation on the ground would allow us to really move forward with it, we also recognized that had we not been so fortunate to be where we are in the state of the COVID pandemic, if we had needed to actually cancel shows or live attendance, we would only be having to do that with one. We're using this as an opportunity, though, because one of the things we really hope for summer theater is to connect with our students as they pivot from being undergraduate students to young professionals in the industry. Our hope with our curriculum is to have all of our students primed so that their summer, rising into senior year, they can have an incredible capstone experience where they are working elbow to elbow with professional designers, where they are taking the lead on whether it is acting roles or doing a design position, that when the fall of their senior year, they're having interviews, they're going out and auditioning. They aren't necessarily pointing at what they're going to do in the future. They're going to point at what they just did and how that gets them ready for the next step. So we're hoping it really gives our students a strategic edge on that really critical senior year where you are, your trajectory is out, right? So you need to be moving forward. So we're really excited about that. The show runs the weekend before the 4th of July holiday, June 23rd through the 26th. All evening performances. It's a Wednesday through a Saturday, so there is not a Sunday matinee. So Wednesday through Saturday, 7:30 p.m. And because one unique thing that we are doing, because we do appreciate that while we are at a hopeful place in the pandemic, people are still getting used to seeing each other's chins. People are still wondering, are we doing handshakes or fist bumps, right? So we're all sort of negotiating this return to normalcy. So we made the decision that for our audience experience, we didn't want to cram a whole bunch of people shoulder to shoulder right away. So we are selling blocks of seats, groups of four, right? That then we can kind of space out just enough from the other groups of four to give everyone a little bit of breathing room, right? And the number four, we're really hoping that if you, if you're a couple who's kind of been like hanging out with each other for the last year and haven't seen another couple you'd really like to do something with, wow, what a great opportunity, right? Get a block of four and come to the theater and just laugh for a couple of hours. Listen to some amazing toe-tapping songs. These actors are powerhouse dynamos. Three of the actors play consistent characters throughout, and then one actress plays six different murder victims, two mothers, and a couple of additional characters. It is just this nonstop, fun, joyous, transformational a comedy. But yeah, because it's blocks of four, though, I just really want to help. Want the listening audience to understand that that really kind of means we only have 38 reservations available per show, because each reservation is a block of four, and then there are a couple of buffer seats. So I want to just kind of encourage everyone, man, get on getting your tickets early, and you can get those through going to EmporiaStateTickets.com. Or just by calling the theater office at 341-5256. Because we understand that there's a lot happening different this year. And honestly, sometimes just calling and talking to a human being is going to be the best way to go forward. So feel free to call us. But we're also streaming this show. One of the best things to come out of COVID was the creative problem solving that came with presenting shows. So we were able to Facebook live stream a homecoming mini musical event. We were able to perform a classic Greek tragedy, Medea, outdoors in a way that respected public health initiatives. And then we were able to live stream our spring productions into everyone's living room. And now that we can come back to gather in person, we already have initiatives to make sure that the streaming still makes those shows accessible, not only to the far-flung friends and family of people who may be involved in the production, right? Grandma Shirley can watch my show from Northfield, Minnesota, which is fantastic. But we're also reaching out, we're offering free streams to local assisted living homes and trying to reach out into the community to bring, use the technology to make the theater as accessible to the biggest audience as possible. And we can also use that to stay connected with our theater alumni. Our hope is our theater alumni are far-flung. They should be they are working in the industry across the nation. We want them to still be able to celebrate in the art of their alma mater without necessarily having to find time to fly to Emporia for the weekend from wherever they're working, right? So we're really excited about what the new state-of-the-art streaming technologies will allow us to do for accessibility and inclusion in the future.
And in-house, the seats of four, the blocks of four, are what, $50?
Yep. I like to think of it as $50 or $12.50 a piece if you're kind of going Dutch.
Great price.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, for that quality entertainment that they're going to get. Let's talk about the cast for a moment, because a production like this, you've got to have some talent to pull this thing off all the way around. So Who do you have lined up?
We have, I'll just kind of go through it. We have one of our graduate students in education who is happens to be the sister of our technical director, but she was not cast on that as a virtue. she is playing Sarah Stone, our socialite love interest, and she has just this beautiful soaring soprano voice and an amazing grace. And she was cast because she plays opposite the character of Detective Brummel, who is kind of a short, squat schlub of a detective. So we wanted this beautiful visual discrepancy between our tall, elegant, beautiful soprano socialite and then kind of our down-and-out sort of detective, who they fall in love, of course, because opposites attract. And why? And that's played by Corey Mann, who is one of our music education students, who is also deeply involved in the opera. And I'll tell you, as a musical theater director, working with someone with a beautiful Pavarotti-esque operatic voice, I love that kind of voice. I love listening to it and trying to get that to work in musical theater. As I believe the one-on-one we had for 90 minutes yesterday was entitled, "We're Gonna Beat the Opera Out of Ya," because the genre is so different. Like, but it's been a wonderful thing because Corey and I were talking about this. He's so excited to be learning how to use his instrument in a way that will actually make him more useful when he does go out and do various auditions. He will know now how to transform without losing any of the capacity to sing full-on opera. He now knows how to do musical theater styling. So he understands that this is a great thing for him. So that is our detective, and those are our romantics, right? And then we have as our killer, who is a which I think is hilarious. He's a failed actor. And because he's never been able to make headlines as an actor, well, he's going to make headlines one way or another. So he becomes a serial strangler, using all sorts of disguises to fool his victims into letting them into the house, etc. He is played by an incoming transfer student named Nathan Goodwin, Nathan is a great example of what I love about the theater. Nathan is not going to be a theater major. Nathan is into information technology, which I know nothing about. But what I do know is at ESU, if you're into information technology, or if you're into chemistry, or if you really are into whatever but it's not theater, there's still a home for you at the theater. Theater should always be that place where people can find their creative outlet that keeps them rooted, that keeps them sane, that gets them out of their head. So if they're always, you know, thinking about bio, great, go ahead and perform, go ahead and design. The theater is really open to anyone. And as to talk about the questions of how much time does that take, as I tell people, if you've got 100 hours or if you've got 10 hours, I can put you to work in a way that will make you feel like you have usefully contributed to a work of art, right? So opening up that umbrella and making sure that people know that you don't need to be in the theater program to be in the theater.
Are you suggesting that theater can keep our sanity tanks full?
Crazy about, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
And what about your fourth role that plays a bunch of different parts?
So sorry. How could I forget Taylor Moult? Taylor Moult is actually a recent graduate of Washburn University on her way to an MFA program. I can't remember which school out east, but we are capturing her. We are able to have her with us at this wonderful time where she is also able to move from undergrad to graduate school while having this incredible professional experience in the middle. And not only is she a dynamite belter. There are several notes that she just holds, and I just kind of lean back and I listen, and it just resonates through the space. But what I'm loving about this is she moves so fast. Her quick changes, it's dynamite. She is a laugh a minute. The show is hilarious.
No way to treat a lady, Aaron.
If you're not sold out by the end of this program, I don't know if you ever will.
June 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th, and this will be performed at on the campus of Emporia State at
the Carl C. Bruder Theater.
Bruder Theater.
You can get tickets online or just call the theater and talk to a human. That's kind of a rare thing these days.
Right.
Let's take our second break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about the history of ESU theater and how it's involved with the community, and then we'll give Angela another chance to talk about talent awards and how that can make a huge difference at Emporia State University. You are listening to the On Air Chat. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis Construction will give you quality work. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent jobs, including the addition of Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Blendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Bruce Davis Construction, call 342-5001. Bruce Davis Construction.
Our American stories. Stories about American people. Stories about who we are, how we got here, and where we are going. Our American Stories, weekday afternoons at 105 on KVOE 96.9 FM and 1400 AM, live and local.
KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. It is time now for sports headlines being brought to you by Newman Regional Health, quality health care close to home. Newman Regional Health. Now with KVOE Sports Headlines, here is Greg Ray.
Thank you, Scott, and good morning. The Los Angeles Angels hit five home runs on the way to an 8-1 win over the Kansas City Royals last night. The Royals will try to wrap up their three-game series with the Angels tonight with a victory, ending a four-game losing skid. Brad Keller on the mound for the Royals. First pitch tonight set for 8:38. You can hear the game here on KVOE. The Emporia Junior American Legion baseball team split a doubleheader with Newton last night. Post 5-1 the first game, 9-1 in six innings, their first win of the season. Newton won the second game, 10-0. Emporia Senior Legion will be in action this weekend, hosting the Sam Ellis Classic beginning on Friday. At the Kansas Junior Amateur Golf Championship being played out at Hayes, after the first round, Emporia and Brooke Souders tied for 63rd place, Caden Massey tied for 75th place, and Hudson Souder tied for 88th place. Second round being played today. Emporia High football team wrapping up their team camp last night under first-year head coach Keaton Tuttle. They'll be participating in the Emporia State team camp beginning on Thursday. New rule change coming for women's college basketball this upcoming season. The three-point line being moved from the international distance of 22 feet 1 3/4 inches. The previous distance was 20 feet 9 inches. Former KU forward Sylvia DeSosa has officially entered the transfer portal. And former Emporia State track and cross-country coach Dave Harris, who's been at Nebraska since 2011, is retiring. That's a look at sports. I'm Greg Ray, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports Headlines, a service of Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever. Newman Regional Health. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the information you need, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
So accessible again.
Exactly.
Welcome back to the on-air chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. Lainey Smith, theater student at Emporia State University. Pete Reidberg, the ESU Director of Theater. And Angela Fullen, ESU Foundation Development Officer in the studio. Pete, let's go to what sets ESU Theater apart from similar programs.
I think the high-impact learning is absolutely key. The fact that every single one of our students will see the opportunity to work on a production from their very first semester. Actors and designers don't have to compete with grad students who oftentimes in larger programs or programs with both undergrad or grad school, a lot of the focus. A great example is my graduate experience. We would have undergraduate acting specialists who, because we had an acting MFA program as well, we would have acting specialists hitting senior year of undergrad just then seeing the stage for the first time, right? Here at Emporia, you are steeped in the creation of the art from your very first semester. Now, we do have expectations. Just like if you want to play on a sportball team, you need to maintain a minimum GPA. We expect you to graduate, and we want you to graduate in 8 semesters. We design our curriculum, we design everything we do, whether it is developing more talent awards, finding more work-study opportunities, finding ways to ensure that we are being responsible to our students and not sending them out into the world saddled with debt. And so that's another thing we're very conscious of is the price point, because we know our students are very debt conscious right now, right? So we make sure that we find avenues for them to do the intense 120 plus hours commitment to a show without also then trying to decide, do I have time to do my bio homework or do I have to go into work, just to kind of make everything balanced. So we really try to help the students balance work, life, art together. Because we have an incredible ratio of student to faculty, we know all of our students. We know them by first name. We know their aspirations. And in knowing that, we are able to do things like with Lainey, to position her on a sequence of steps to make sure that her stated goals are something that we are directly supporting, not kind of saying, well, here's a schmear that tends to work well for everyone, right? So we can really individualize that experience. And yeah, the summer theater as an opportunity to have that pre-professional world experience that will really just get you prepared for what the world is going to look like, I think that's absolutely fantastic. Those are things that I think are unique to ESU, and you can only get at ESU.
How often, with being able to be in the ESU theater department, basically from when you walk in the door at ESU, each and every year, how often does somebody switch what they think they like? Where if you're at a undergraduate school where you don't get to see it until you're 4 years into the program, I want to be an actor. Well, you better be an actor when you've already spent 4 years at school wanting to be an actor.
That is an incredible question. How often do you change? Yes, that's a great question, and all the time. All the time is the answer. And the reason is so many of our students, understandably, usually come to their undergraduate experience. Their high school experiences have largely been, you're either an actor or you are doing something on the set. And there's not a lot beyond that. Adults, and I was doing air quotes there with my fingers, adults manage the lead roles in that sense. What we hope to do at ESU is open doors and windows to different avenues and roads that you didn't even necessarily knew existed, where you can have a rich, let's face it, let's accept the fact, not every person with a passion for theaters wants to be or might even be cut out to be an actor, but that passion, when coupled with someone who might be really good at numbers, you've got a theatrical business manager right there, a job that you can work your entire life within the discipline that you love, right? A managing director, someone who works with press, with the media. There are so many roles, professional roles, in the giant ensemble that is the collaborative process of theater that can be actual careers. It is so much more than acting and designing, and that's why we see so many students change what they're interested in, because they've learned that there are other things that they're even more interested in. And we love that. We love it when a student comes to us and says, I have had a revelation. I have had an epiphany about what my future could be. Can I get on a track to direct a show next year? That's what I look forward to. Then we're doing our job right.
Yeah, just watch the credits sometime and actually watch them all the way through, and you'll see how many people are involved in a performance.
Mm-hmm. Key grip. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always look for that. Always look for that. Now, Pete, what about your thoughts on the importance of the campus-community relationship? I mean, you've been here for a year, but we haven't had a lot of opportunity for you to get really involved in the community just because of the pandemic, so this may be kind of a difficult question to field, but the importance of being involved in the community with Emporia State Theater on campus.
Well, while I still very much may feel a bit of a stranger in a strange land, the theater and how it works in a community is constant. Art is a source of civic pride. Fine art, performing art, it is part of our cultural and community identity. And as one of the major players in the Emporia arts scene, we take that responsibility very seriously. We want to make sure that Emporia has access to really high quality performing art, and that we are taking that art to enrich and extend experiences into the community. One of the things, for instance, that I'm really excited about is an initiative we have going on next year, where we are doing a touring production of Shakespeare's Macbeth that is going to be done in conjunction with our student group, the Educational Theater Company, to tour out to area high schools and have a really extraordinary kind of pre-show, show experience, and then post-show all wrapped up into one in a way that is going to not only be bringing theater for free into these high schools, and again, particularly after a year where there probably hasn't been a lot of assemblies for performances, we're really excited to be able to offer that. But we do believe that the theater has so much to offer, and it can build not only our brand recognition, but bring in the next generation of young artists. Let's face it, whether you're stuffed into a kangaroo suit when you're in seventh grade, or just see a really great touring production come to your school, those are the moments where, as young people, we can see ourselves in the future. And so having that out in front of people, I think, is incredibly important.
You know, I think it might be a good idea, you know, to make an investment in a number of kangaroo costumes and send them out to area schools. Yeah. And who knows?
Who can fit?
Well, let's get in this thing.
Yeah, I think one of the things that theater, no matter the institution I was at previous to this, was also kind of a ivory tower surrounded by a community, right? And for me, what the theater does from an educational institution point is we bridge that barrier. Sometimes the community and a central educational institution, they can kind of feel like two different worlds. And one of the things the theater does is to reach out and bring everyone together and form those close ties. So there is a dialogue between those who are very much identified with the institution and the place where we live, where we work, where we play, right? That's one of the central roles of an educational theater, is not only to train the next generation, but to enrich and grow the community in which we live.
Now, this summer, excuse me, Aaron.
You're fine.
One show, no way to treat a lady, but what maybe could we be looking for down the road next year and years to come as far as ESU Summer Theater?
Because people are used to, I think when Carl Bruder started it, they did 5-6 shows every summer, and then they went down to 4, and that's been pretty constant for, well, until
forever, yeah.
Right. until 2021.
Absolutely.
So what's the future of the summer program?
The future is rep. The future is us. We always want to make sure that the shows that we are doing, first and foremost, are serving our students as they prepare for their next step. So that will always be the core of our mission. But what we want to do is we build out, is as we develop our capacity to do one show that will serve our students, as we build the program, we're then going to need that second show. But rather than doing them in a sequence, kind of in your summer stock series, we're going to do them where multiple shows are playing at once. So, for instance, perhaps the actors who might be playing Romeo and Juliet in show A are then extras 1 and 2 in show B, where you have people holding multiple shows kind of in their heads. And more importantly, since so many of the professional opportunities our students will see out in the real world are repertory models, for our design and technical students, they also need to get very used to this notion of, on Wednesday, your scenic needs are this. Then you have to pack up that entire show, put it into the wings, set out a completely different show, and be ready for the next night's audience, right? So getting used to having multiple shows running at once where you're having to transition between them, that's going to prepare our students to work much more effectively in regional theater models where we envision them ending up. And it also means that rather than I get so sad in the summer when we only run for a single weekend because weddings. Because when you only do a single weekend, you're either able to or you're not. When we start offering things in rep, it means suddenly, hey, hun, it's Tuesday. there's probably theater afoot somewhere. Let's see what that is, right? It'll make the theater more accessible during the summer because we know how full people's summers are. And if we are going to ask people to take the time and to risk taking the time out of their summer to come join us, we're going to give them a good show. And we're going to give them a show that they'll be able to see on their schedule. And that's the hope for the Rep, is that it will both benefit our students, it'll benefit our audiences, and it will allow us to present more in a slightly more compacted time. Because honestly, going from May all the way into essentially the week before classes without a break, it's great for quantity of art, but when do you clean up the shop? When do you go through your miles of costume stock and see what we need to do? So we do have some maintenance stuff that part of a thriving program is making sure that you take the time to pause, recollect, reorganize, and strategize a vision for the future. And if we're not taking the time to have a clear and strong vision, then we're just treading water. Treading water doesn't get you anywhere.
I don't think they're treading right now, Aaron.
Speed ahead.
I don't think they're treading at all, and I think the community can plan on more shows in the future. And like you said, the summer theater is just one part of the year. You'll be doing stuff. I think there's plenty of room by the castle scene, or one of the castle scenes in Macbeth, for a couple kangaroos as well.
So what's the homecoming musical?
Urinetown, the musical. It is about 10 years old, and it could not be more apropos for today. The conceit, or as Little Sally says in the opening number, are you sure a bad title can really kill a musical, as can bad subject matter? The conceit of the show is a dystopic future where, due to a water shortage, people have to pay to take care of their personal business. And there are laws against not using the public facilities. And should you break those laws, the penalties are fairly extreme. You are sent to Urinetown. And I will simply leave it there. What I love about this musical is this. It has so many different genres of music in it. There's everything from gospel choir to stomp spoken word to your standard torch song and ballad, right? But it is funny. It is wry social commentary, and it is one of those musicals that anyone who's ever judged a book by its cover when it comes to theater and the title of a play, I think people who brave going to something called Urinetown will walk out of there saying, I am never going to judge a show by its title again, because that was awesome. So we're really excited about that. And then our other fall show is going to be a homecoming performance of then the Macbeth production that will be going around and bringing witches and ghosts and sword fights to all our schools. And then we have two really, really fantastic spring shows in 2022, all lined up as one. One is a really great it enters into a dialogue about the working poor, about South Side of Boston, about some really gritty, challenging issues that a lot of Americans face. One of our goals at ESU Theater is to make sure part of our programming is always dedicated to making sure underrepresented voices are emerging onto stage. And then we're going to end with a really wonderful comedy from back in the day. It's a 1920s. It's kind of like, I would liken it to kind of a precursor to the Sex and the City ladies, because it's all about gender and sexual politics at a time where women were oftentimes seen as not having any power or authority. And this comedy of manners in a very, think Noel Coward, think Oscar Wilde. It is all highbrow, witty, play on words, but with some really awesome gender politics mixed in as well, and really great roles for women all the way through the season. So we are very much looking forward to the academic year, but man, No Way to Treat a Lady, that is the one that is in coming up soon, and we are really excited about bringing that to the community.
The fuse is lit.
I'm excited. Yeah. Pete was talking before the show. They're just getting to the point where they stop laughing while they're doing the show as well, so it must be very comedic.
It's pretty good.
Lainey Smith, theater student at ESU, thank you for joining us. Good luck with the show.
Thank you.
Pete Ryberg, ESU Director of Theater, good luck with all of the shows.
Thank you.
And Angela Fullen, ESU Foundation Development Officer. Angela, give the listeners one more plug on how they can get a hold of you to help be involved in the Together Forward campaign.
Thank you. As we've all heard, Pete has an amazing vision for the theater department here at ESU. Now he needs some talent awards. As he goes out and recruits those high school students that are so talented, either behind the scenes or on stage, he needs scholarship dollars. It's competitive out there. Everyone knows that. And so if he can offer a student more money to incentivize them to come here, the better shows that we're going to see as a community. So reach out to me at the foundation at 341-5440, and we can talk about how you can make an impact for ESU Theater at different levels. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you a lot. This has been the On-Air Chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. The Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Live and local, AM 1400.